Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead, inside the Business Radio X studios. Good morning, everybody. It is Friday, 11 a.m., and this is another episode of Georgia Business Radio. We are the premier business radio show in the entire state of Georgia, and we are here sharing thought leaders, words of success in the business world. I'm Ryan Red Hawk McPherson, your host today, sitting along my producer, engineer,
Rich Casanova here. I wish I had a cool middle name like you, a radio name, yeah.
Well, Casanova's pretty cool.
I know, yeah, that's, thank you. Yeah, I concur, yeah.
I wouldn't give that one up too soon. I'd stick with
well,
that.
Maybe I rent it for $1.50, but yeah, other than that.
We can call you Rich Newhouse.
I know, that is the translation. All right, so another great show of Georgia Business Radio episode.
I know, every week we seem to bring in some real high-profile business leaders, and it's my pleasure to introduce the group here today. First, we'd like to welcome Chris Economy. He's from the iGallery. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm well. How are you guys doing
today? I'm doing good. What are you going to be sharing with our listeners today?
We're going to be talking about eyeglasses, eyeglasses, eyeglasses. And we're going to be talking about eye health and how to protect your eyes from both the sun, but also some of the indoor issues that you may have with what's called blue ultraviolet light that comes out of all LCD screens and our new technology that is surrounding us everywhere.
I see.
Yes. Yes. All right. Yes. And that was a pun, which is a good pun. Yes. You want to see very, very
right,
well.
I see. Well, good. Looking forward to hearing about eyes here in a little bit. And we also like to welcome Matt Rayner from Wella. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Good. Yeah. Welcome back to the studio. You were here last in February, right?
Yeah. Just a few months ago. It seems like yesterday, though.
Good. Yeah. And you've been telling everybody about Business Radio X since then.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Been tweeting, Facebooking about it all the time.
Nice. Good. And so you'll be talking about Wella and wealth management and how folks can learn more about that here today. How's business going?
Business has been going really well. We're actually in the process of expanding our company by about doubling the size of our company. Oh. So really just trying to turn wealth management on its head and provide a different outlet that's accessible and relatable to everyone, the masses out there. So excited to be back talking about it.
Good deal. Yeah, certainly business must be good if you're looking to double just since the last few months you were here. So we'll get more into detail about that here in a few moments. But please, let's also welcome Ernie Fira. How are you, sir?
Very good, and you got my name correct.
Excellent.
Nice. Excellent job. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for joining us, and you're with LexisNexis Commercial Insurance, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What we do is we provide insurance information to insurance carriers and agents that they need to underwrite small business risks. So I'm here today to kind of give some insights on helping the small business owner, you know, provide the information that the carrier or the agent might need as they look to buy insurance.
When you say small business, how do you define small business?
Well, we like most of the small businesses are less than 10 employees, really. Mm-hmm. And it actually represents probably 99% of the businesses in the United States today.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of the place we're looking.
Yeah. That's who you deal with specifically and looking for those really small businesses who are needing insurance needs, right?
That's right. And a little fun fact for you, too. 52% of the businesses in the United States are home-based. So a lot of the businesses in the country today are where there's that small business owner working out of their home. So
that small business owner out of their home seems like a good opportunity to me. Rich, maybe we can set up the Business Radio X studios out of your condo.
Nice. Yeah, just thinking, if they work from home, where's their home?
It's downstairs or you know, in the other room, I guess.
And we were talking, Matt was talking about doubling his business. We're thinking about doubling ours as well, maybe just adding a second floor to the studio. Would that count or no?
That definitely counts.
All right,
that's
nice.
Doubling
the
size.
I don't know how the building management would feel about that. We'll do that over the weekend, when they're not looking.
We'll get a few guys out here and just build it up.
It's called moving on up.
Nice.
It would change your insurance risks for you, though. Just
good to know.
Right. I have a feeling this is going to be a very entertaining show as well as informative as usual.
It always is. Yes, sir. So please introduce our first guest more professionally, if you would, sir.
Uh-oh, professionally. you didn't have to throw that in there, did you? Yeah.
No pressure.
All right, exactly. Yeah. So, we want to welcome to the studio and to the show Chris Economy. He's worked in the optical profession for over 10 years, lived in Atlanta for 3 years, and worked at the Alley Gallery almost that entire time, about 2.5 years now. Been the manager of the perimeter location for over a year, And that's the one right near me. Actually, I should have stopped by yesterday because I thought about it as I was leaving. I was at the Panera Bread working remotely from there. Yeah. So if those folks don't know, I say it's, I don't know, what's the official name for that center?
It's called Perimeter Way.
Okay, yeah. But there's so many perimeters going on. It's like Peachtree in Atlanta. So many if you live in Sandy Springs, every street's perimeter. But it's where the Target's at, the Taco Mac.
Panera. The Tin Drum, exactly. The Vita. We're at the other side of that roundabout. Nice. Yes.
Oh, very good. Well, welcome to the studio. We're going to talk about the Eye Gallery, and you forgot to mention he's an optical extraordinaire.
Yes.
Oh, that's a cool title. I was going to steal that title.
I was going to say Optical Jedi, but I thought that would be a little too, I like that one, Dragon Con for us this time of year, you know?
Very cool. We'll talk a little bit first off the top about the Eye Gallery and, you know, what, how long you've been in business, where are the locations?
Yeah, we have 7 in Metro Atlanta. We also have 3 that are down in Florida. We've been around for over 20 years now. Our first location was Sandy Springs. Buckhead was the second location. We also have one at the North Point Mall, Forum in Norcross. We have one in East Cobb and Atlantic Station. And I am lucky enough to be the manager and operator of the Perimeter location.
That's pretty cool. So it was started here in Atlanta.
Yes. It's an Atlanta-based business. It was originally owned by a husband and wife. And it was then sold to another company who then sold it to the company that we're with now, Emerging Vision, out of the New York metropolitan area. They are the 7th largest operator for optical stores in the country. And it's a great, great, great company to work for.
Yeah. What brought you to the company?
I had moved here from the Northeast via Ohio.
Okay.
And I had done optical on and off for years. And I just came back to Atlanta. I worked somewhere very, very briefly. And then I sent a resume in to the Eye Gallery. And 24 hours later, they interviewed me. 48 hours, they offered me the job. And I've been there ever since.
Well, I've got to say, you've got some very chic designer frames on today.
Yes.
And those are pretty cool. So can you find those over at the Eye Gallery?
These are LaFonts, actually. They're handmade in France, and they have carbon fiber temples on them. Yes, and you can find these at my location and the other 7 locations in Metro Atlanta.
Good. And so talk about some more of the different kinds of frames that you offer and people can find at your store.
We have tons and tons of different frames. We basically run the gauntlet. We have some items that are priced more for people that are budget conscious, who have insurance, who need to keep an eye on their finances. We have plenty of items that are in that price point. And then we have some luxury items. We have some private labeled items that are handmade in France, like the ones that I'm wearing. We also have ones that are handmade in Japan. So we essentially run the gauntlet. So we have a little bit of everything for a little bit of everyone.
That's good. And I know if you're folks out there like my mother, she has a pair of eyeglasses in every single room of the house because she can never find them.
Yes.
So she keeps them literally in every room. So when she sits down to read, she doesn't have to go chasing the glasses all over the place. So probably most eyeglass wearers have more than one pair.
They do. And they really should, because the way you want to look at it is that if you went away on vacation, I just got back from Ohio at a wedding. I brought 2 pairs of glasses with me as well as my contact lenses. If I was to lose a pair of my glasses, it'd be very, very difficult for me to function, and I would not have been able to drive home from Ohio to Georgia without my prescription glasses on.
Right, and you may have a pair that you go out and look, dress up with. You maybe have some that you're going to play sports with.
Understand. See, that's the way you're supposed to do it. Now, think about this. You probably own many different pairs of shoes. You also probably own quite a few different pairs of different watches.
Yes.
So you want to think about it that you're not going to be wearing the same pair of shoes or the same blazer for every single event. So you are right. You should have something for more athletic use. You should have something that's a little bit more dressed up. Like I said, you're going to a wedding or something a little bit more casual.
And that's talking about the frames. Now let's talk about the lenses themselves. What goes into the quality, or how do you decide what lenses you need?
See, now that's a very important question. Okay. See, there's a misconception both on the frames and the lenses side that all lenses and all frames are exactly the same. That is not true at all. That's like saying all cell phones or all cars are the exact same thing. They're not. The way that you determine what kind of a lens that an individual needs is based on their prescription. After our doctor, who's an OD, sees the patient, her name is Laura Rain. She's excellent. She's one of the few doctors in the States that what she does, instead of just graduating from college for medical, she decided to do she did an associateship, essentially, where she was trained by other eye doctors to look for intricate things that were going on with the eye, which is great. That way, she has a little bit more understanding of the idiosyncratic nature of the eye and your vision. Based on that prescription that she will write for you, we then pick a pair of glasses, or a pair of lenses, rather, that are customized specifically for that prescription.
And you can then match those lenses with any frames that you
Correct.
Want to create that, you know, look for you. That you know, people can be identified by the frames that they wear.
Absolutely. You want to look great in your glasses, mm-hmm. and you want to see really well out of your glasses. Mm-hmm. If it's not both, it's kind of like a counterfeit coin that has two heads, not a heads and a tails.
Right. What about the contact lenses? You know, how
we
do you guys provide
as
those
well.
As well?
Absolutely. And she actually does specialty contacts for people who have massive eye issues like keratoconus and things like that, who need to wear a hard contact lens for the entire year. We can do both daily disposables, the monthlies, and for people who need specialized contacts through their medical insurance.
Yeah, no, it always amazes me the technology that goes into seeing and making people see better.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's evolving every year, it seems like. You know, there's always something new coming out. And so you mentioned there at the beginning about the glasses you wear for when you're using electronic devices.
Yes.
That must kind of put that technology into
Absolutely.
Play there. Talk
yes.
a little about that, please.
Okay, so blue ultraviolet light is what causes macular degeneration, cataracts, abnormal aging of the eye. Typically, that came from the sun. That's where it primarily was coming from for years and years and years, as long as man has been walking on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. What people were wondering, or rather doctors were wondering, is why so many people were getting cataracts and macular degeneration from being indoors. We are not an agricultural community any longer. People work inside of offices and buildings all day, as we all know. What it's been determined is that the same blue light that comes out of the sun also comes out of all of our electronic devices. Every LCD screen, that is every tablet, smartphone, computer screen, television screen, emits this. Also, these overhead lights above us, fluorescent light bulbs, mm-hmm. as well as the new non-Edison spiral light bulbs, also emit
right.
this blue light. So the lenses that I'm wearing are called a Blue Shield UV lens. What this does is it blocks the blue light that would be harmful to my eyes. It bounces it right off of my lenses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's protecting my eyes from macular degeneration and cataracts. I had a gentleman who was in the store yesterday. He's just been diagnosed with macular degeneration. My father-in-law, I just found out, was also diagnosed with that. And I'm going to be getting lenses for these two gentlemen that are based on what I'm wearing right now.
You can't avoid that light these days. You're either on your phone or you're on your computer. Or you're underneath these fluorescent lights. And then if you're not, you're outside where it's everywhere.
Correct. And for children, it's especially risky. Our kids are playing on their phones, their tablets, and they're playing video games all day, every day. The smart board that they have in the classroom also emits this type of light. So they are, as their eyes are developing, they are extremely susceptible to this blue light. And yep. it is essential that parents are aware of this and that you're trying to curb this onset from happening to your children.
So maybe, I don't need glasses for reading or seeing, but maybe I should be wearing something just to protect my eyes.
We do that all the time. We do blanks that have this treatment on for people that are, like, you know, chained to the desk and mm-hmm. the computer all day, kind of like Charlton Heston and Ben-Hur and the oars and whatnot
right.
on the boat. We do that for everybody.
Right. And so what about, you know, some of these sunglasses?
Yes.
People love to wear sunglasses. I see these guys walking around all the time indoors with them on because they
yes.
think they look cool.
They
certainly do.
Right.
But, you know, do you guys provide those
Absolutely.
Services?
Absolutely. We do regular Plano sunglasses as well as we do prescription sunglasses. Now, it is very important, and the general public is not aware of this. If you buy really inexpensive sunglasses, those are not real sunglasses. What I mean by that is, they have a spray adhesive that goes on them that makes them UV 400. Once that spray begins to come off from wiping them or from scratches, it does nothing to protect your eyes. It's actually more damaging to your eyes. Your eye acts like a camera lens. You walk outside, your eyes get much smaller. Your retinas get smaller. You walk inside, they get larger. Put a dark surface in front of you. You walk out the front door, and it's sunny out. Your eyes naturally will get larger to let light in. If it's not UV protected, you're damaging your eyes more than if you were wearing nothing. That's the difference between very inexpensive sunglasses and the more expensive sunglasses.
But the argument for there I hear all the time is, well, I buy cheap sunglasses because I'm going to lose them. I'm going to break them. So I always want to just have a cheap pair instead of buying that $100 more pair.
Whenever they're not on your face, you want to put them right in the case, because if they're in the case, it's going to be very difficult to break them, mm-hmm. and it'll be very difficult to lose them. A case is not going to disappear behind the salt and pepper shaker if you go to lunch at Taco Mac or at some other restaurant. You're going to see that case, you're going to pick it up and put them back in your bag or back in your car, and you're going to walk out the door.
Yeah, a good pair of sunglasses is not cheap, though.
They are not.
You want to protect them.
Correct. And you want to go with polarization is almost a must, especially down here. We're in Georgia. We're in the south. We're much closer to the equator. The sun is at its apex a lot longer than it is, say, in the northeast or the northwest. And we're in a usually it's about it with the UV index. If you go to the Environmental Protection Agency's UV index for our city, many times we're in a 9 or a 10. An 11 is deemed as an extreme UV area. 10 means that if you go outside for 15 or 20 minutes with no suntan lotion on, it's very harmful to the skin.
Yeah, no doubt about
Imagine what it's doing to your eyes, which are even more sensitive than your skin.
Right, yeah. And the only time I really wear sunglasses is when I'm fishing, because I like the polarization. You can see in
the
water
fishes,
better.
Yes.
Yeah, you can see through the water. And,
or fish, rather, yes. Yeah. See the fish down
fishies,
in the water. Yes,
fishes, yes. You know, something. But I generally don't wear a lot of sunglasses, even when driving. I feel it fatigues my eyes a little bit. You know, I tend to get more tired when I'm wearing sunglasses, although I know it does protect the eye.
Well, you're wearing polarized. You're wearing polarized sunglasses? What
correct.
Color are the lenses?
Just dark gray.
See, now that could be an issue because some people, gray washes the horizon. Mm-hmm. Your browns and your ambers will actually enhance and give you color contrast and depth of field more than gray will. So that's not an uncommon issue that people have. For example, people that have bifocals in their sunglasses or progressive bifocals in their sunglasses, they can tend to read better with their sunglasses on if it's a brown or an amber color or rose color lens opposed to the gray. Gray kind of washes a little bit. It does make things a little bit not as not as much of a contrast when they're looking.
Well, maybe I need to look into getting some different colored glasses.
Yes, you come on down 4520 Old Perimeter Way, Suite 110, come see me. I'll hook you up.
Now, what about a guy like me who doesn't wear glasses, never have, but I imagine I will at some point in the future. How do I know when it's time to go get checked out and go down that road?
The second that when you hit a certain age, usually late 30s, early to mid 40s, when you start holding menus out like you're reciting Shakespeare,
right?
Or you start looking in the distance and, you know, things are just not as sharp, or you're driving in the evening and you feel like you can't see the signs nearly as well until you get very close to them, that means you need some type of correction in your lenses. Many times people actually don't have any real corrective vision, but they have astigmatisms, which means that the eye has changed its shape from being round to more of an oval shape. And what that does is it allows light into the eye twice, causing blurry vision. And that can also be a hindrance to your distance as well as your reading.
And I can get all that figured out at the eye gallery.
Absolutely.
You can go see the doctor there, get a good report on what I need. Mm-hmm. You can then go shopping there for the right pair of glasses.
Absolutely.
And, you know, from different price ranges, I imagine. Right?
And we take insurance, too. We take basically all medical insurance. The only thing we don't take is Medicaid and Medicare. We take almost every other insurance. And if you don't have insurance, we have tons of promos that we can do for you.
Yeah, talk about that. Anything coming up this summer? Big sales, events?
Yeah, we actually do. We have a 50% off spring / summer clearance sale right now on many of our items. And for ladies out there, we actually have Chanel 50% off.
Rich likes Chanel,
yes.
too.
And we have Versace as well. That's 50% off on a couple other luxury lines. Not to be confused with Chanel frames or Versace frames. It's Chanel and Versace. Yes.
Chanel, Versace.
Yes.
Wow, I think that's half of Rich's wardrobe.
Yes.
Ryan, I'd want to remind you, I am your engineer. I can turn off your mic at any point. Yes.
I understand. he mentioned the other day he was looking for some diamond encrusted frames. So when he goes out dancing on Friday
night.
He said
the same thing to me, actually.
I'm going to delete some of these pictures. I was looking at some of the photos and they were blurry.
Oh. So we may need to fix that later. Yeah. So.
I did have a couple of questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Your Buckhead location, where is it? Because we're obviously in the Buckhead studio.
Right on Piedmont. It's right where the Disco Kroger is, across from the Twin Peaks, right by the Buckhead Church.
Okay.
Jamie is the manager of that location. He's been with our company over on and off for about 20 years now.
Wow.
He'd be the he's like the Yoda
the
of
ninja.
Eyeglasses. He really is. No,
one day
really
you're going to graduate to that point.
Yes. Or he's actually probably a little bit more like a Sith Lord. I would say he's the Emperor, and I'm a little bit more like Darth Vader, minus the awesome outfit and accessories. Yes.
Turned into Star Trek radio, yeah.
Exactly.
But the other question about insurance, like Ryan was mentioning, if you break or damage your lenses or glasses, or they're, and I know we have a gentleman in the insurance business, but.
Well, for example, for scratches on the lenses, all prescription lenses that we carry at the eye gallery have a 1-year scratch warranty. So if you were to drop them or scratch them, you get a brand new pair of lenses for free. There's no using your insurance again. Unlike some of our competitors, we don't charge fees for us to be able to swap the lenses out. You get one-time swap out for free. no questions asked. On the glasses, the warranties for these frames are usually for manufacturer's defects. They don't cover dogs, fires, right. cars, and kitties. But we do have some that are a lot more durable than others. Some of the materials like titanium or Flexon or stainless steel, those will take a lot more of a wear and tear than some of the other items will.
Okay.
Very good. I know when I was in the Army in basic training, they issued everyone these things called BCGs.
Yes.
Birth control glasses. Because they're huge. And when you wear them, nobody wants to get near you. Hopefully
they
don't sell
enough, those. That look has come back in for a lot of the hipsters. They want to have them look Sally, Jesse, Raphael, or like you said, Marine
BCGs,
style.
BCGs, Marine style. Nice.
Oh, well, good. Well, thanks, Chris, for coming in. Tell the folks out there how they can find you, your website, social media, anything like that.
You just go to theeyegallery.com. It'll show where the seven locations are. And many of us, we have doctors usually 5 days a week at those locations. My location's open 6 days a week. Many of the other locations are open 7 days a week. So check us out and then just give us a call.
Very good. Well, sit right there and let's see what our other guests have to offer here today in studio. Who's up next, Rich?
All right. Well, beforehand, I just want to let our listeners, audience know that you're listening to Buckhead Business from our studio in Buckhead, the Georgia Business Radio, and Ryan Redhawk McPherson, your host, and he's also, I don't know if we should share your BCH, your birth control haircut that you're wearing today. Yeah. right back at you, buddy. All right. Here we go. All right, so back to business. Up next, we have Matt Reiner.
That's right.
Yep. Reiner,
that's
okay.
Right, yeah.
Okay. You are a founding partner of the and portfolio manager. Matt coordinates the investment committee and translates the decisions into trades and allocations adjustments within the Wella models. Matt also serves as an investment advisor and chief investment officer for Capital Investment Advisors, which I love the acronym CIA, yep. right?
Yeah, they haven't come
clever.
After us
yeah.
yet. Yeah.
Nice. And outside of work, when Matt isn't spending time with his wife and their puppy dog, what's the puppy dog's name?
Munson.
How old?
Georgia, a Georgia fan, so I had to take it after Larry Munson.
Okay, yeah.
The next dog's going to be Larry, so when I call them, I can always say Larry Munson.
And we won't hold that against you since it is a dog. We love dogs. So you can typically find him on the golf course or coaching his Little League baseball team. As he mentioned, avid fan of the Georgia Bulldogs, and you can typically find him in Athens on Saturdays during the football season. So welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks for having me again. And the eye gallery conversation was great. I have to vouch for them. I used them over in Sandy Springs.
Okay. Oh, excellent.
And, yeah. They've helped me with contacts, glasses, eye appointments. So, very good experience.
Have you seen Chris over there?
No, I'm in I go to the one off of Hammond and Roswell right
yes,
there.
Yes, that's where Dr. Wesley Hansen has been the doctor for over 20 years.
He helped me through a few eye problems. Nice. So he's a good guy.
Nice. Look at that. Unpaid yeah. endorsement.
Unsolicited yeah. testimony yeah. there.
Now now I'm expecting something back.
exactly, yeah.
Yes.
Some free sunglasses.
That's a type of generation we are, right? We say something, we get something back, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I like the little give and take. You come see me, I'll hook you up.
50% off sunglasses.
Very nice.
For the summer. Going on, yeah.
Well, good. Like you said, Mitch, welcome back to the studio, Matt. I remember we talked last time back in February. You are from the Atlanta area,
yep,
right? But
yep.
you went away to college, not Georgia,
yep,
and then
yep.
came back to Atlanta. How long have you been back in town now?
I've been back here for about 10 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, so grew up over there in Marietta and East Cobb, and then went out to Arizona State for college, but always was a Georgia fan. Grew up a Georgia fan. I just they didn't want me at the school. That's why I
that's
said
right.
they didn't want me there. Yeah. So I decided to say, you know what, I'll go somewhere else
and go far enough away where it wouldn't conflict with the Georgia fans.
Yeah, but Georgia and Arizona State have played each other, and I still wear the red and black. So
nice.
It was a fun 4 years. It was a vacation.
Very cool. So local guy. Now you are, like you were saying, the managing partner of Wella. Mm-hmm. And you guys just kind of formulated the company how long ago?
Yeah, so it's been around, but we kind of used the tech term, pivoted, or went down a different path, as I like to say, recently, where we became a digital advisor, which is what that means is, in the industry, you have your traditional wealth management firms where you have to go in, you have to go to the 17th floor of a high-rise building down in downtown, sit mm-hmm. across a mahogany table, mm-hmm. and tell them your life story, and they'll give you their advice. And that's what we built CIA on for about the past 20 years, and that's still going really well. But we spun out Wella 7 years ago to try to really reach the mass affluent, the individuals that these big traditional wealth management firms didn't want to deal with because they say they weren't profitable. And mm-hmm. we saw that trend happening in the space. And we said, well, there's this whole sea of individuals that actually need help. And how can we make it efficient and profitable and relatable to allow us to give that information to where we can help these people that need it? And we started doing that for 7 years. And then recently in January, we launched our digital platform that now allows everybody to access us whenever, wherever, and however they want, from the palm of their hand or from their desktop computer.
Yeah, so integrating technology so people can kind of manage their wealth on a more regular basis, right? And is that something you would advise folks to do, is to really stay on top of it, or go have a once-a-year meeting with that guy downtown at the high-rise?
Well, really, I like to explain what we've created with YourWella.com as Mint.com and Fitbit with a spice of advice. Is nice. Basically what it is. It allows individuals to get a holistic view of their financial situation. So we utilize the same technology that Mint was built on, which is a platform from Intuit, a large Fortune 500 company. And that allows our users to aggregate accounts from over 19,000 institutions onto the platform. So you can go in for free, aggregate everything, utilize any of our tools that help you, how much house can you buy, how long is it going to take you to get out of debt, how much do you need to save for that first or second kid's college tuition. You can use all of that for free. And the idea behind that was that in order to make quality financial decisions, you actually have to know where you stand and where everything is. And we saw that a pain point for our users was that they have four different, they have a bank account at Bank of America, they have an investment account at Charles Schwab, then their 401k somewhere else, and then they have a credit card at American Express. And in order to get a holistic view and understanding of what your situation your financial situation, you have to go to all four of those, and they only give you a view into what they manage. And so we then allow the user to leverage that as much as they want, but if they want any advice, they have access to a financial advisor whenever they want, via chat, video conference, phone. And that advisor now has a very vivid view of that. So you don't have to go through that whole 30 minutes of telling them what's going on in your situation. They can help understand it and get more to the point and give you actionable steps of what you need to do.
Right. So they're seeing it all real time. The advisor and the consumer seeing it there all real time on their computer and deciding what decisions they may need to make based upon, like you said, life's changes that come along.
Yeah.
And now is that something they still need your help with to move that money, or they can do that themselves?
If they decide to use us for investment management services, then that's when they would leverage us. And that's where there is a fee. But we don't try to push them down that way. We want them to utilize all of the information, our blogs, our infographics, our podcasts, and a radio show that we're actually starting here shortly. Leverage that to get information that helps them. We know that we can't implement change. We can't cause you to change right away, especially when it comes to financial advice. So we want to just be there when that life event occurs, when that pain point occurs, that you actually need to take action. And so, no, we don't think, and to answer your previous question, I didn't answer, I kind of went around it. We don't believe that you need to look at your finances every day or all the time. What we're trying to do is help you be proactive and reverse inquiry you, in sense of ask questions that you think you may know to ask, but you don't really know how to ask them about your financial situation, and help guide you down the path of financial freedom over a longer period of time.
Yeah. So again, not something you have to manage every single day, worry about every single day, but just kind of be positioned for those life changes or those known larger expenses that may come up, to know that your money is managed correctly, but all housed nicely in a platform like Wella, so folks can get a look at it.
And we're leveraging technology to help us with that, right? So to help us identify those pinches in your financial situation, those pain points that you may be occurring, or help give you some ideas on how you can maybe save some more, maybe save an extra $200 a month. But we don't also want to be that typical advisor that says, because I liken going to a financial advisor like going to a dentist, right?
Okay, that's
nothing
not very
wrong
fun
with the dentist, right? Yeah, because you go to the dentist and you it's so painful. You're never excited. No one jumps out of bed and is like, yes, I get to go to the dentist today.
But you know you have to go.
But you know you have to go, and you walk out of there, your teeth are hurting, and you have to tell your whole life story with all the tools in your mouth, mumbling your life story.
Right.
It's just not a fun experience. And same thing with a financial advisor, right? The typical mentality is that you go sit across a mahogany table and the person tells you to spend less, save more. You're never going to retire. And if you do retire, you're probably not going to have Social Security. So you need to save even more. And it's just a really depressing situation. And we wanted to really change that whole conversation. So we try to balance the idea of how to get you to different points of saving, the stages of life, those that you may have, while also kind of promoting consumption as well. Because Wella, the name Wella, comes from an old English word that means wealth. And it's our belief that wealth is more than just about money. It's about knowledge. It's about understanding. It's about how to save, to accumulate wealth, but also how to spend your wealth the right way to make it go as far as possible. So we try to look at it a little bit differently.
Yeah, a little preventative maintenance on your pocketbook.
Yeah.
So I just turned 43 this year. I'm thinking about starting to save for retirement in the next couple of years. I'm doing pretty good though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're doing great. You're starting to think about it. That's the point.
I'm just going to rely on Social Security is my plan.
You know, it's just lean on. It's funny actually because we built, if you look at our business plan for when we developed this platform, his idea is going after millennials, and that's really where we go after is the millennial generation and trying to make it an elegant and efficient with technology platform for them because that's how they like to interact. But what we've also seen is that the 40 to 45 year old segment has been really, they've been coming to the platform and really leveraging it to its fullest potential because what we've realized is the millennial life events that they're hitting is, can I buy a house? How do I get out of student loan debt?
Right.
How do I just had a kid or I just got married. How do I join bank accounts? How do I save for their college? But what's funny is that the pain point is even more real when you get to 40 because they're like, am I going to be able to retire? How do I even retire? They don't know, and they don't know where everything is, and they may have been at two or three jobs, so they still have two or three 401ks that they don't know even what's there. And so they come to us and they start aggregating, seeing their wealth, their total wealth, and start asking the questions of, hey, can I retire, and what's the next step for that?
Yeah. So, and it changes as you grow older and grow a family perhaps or move, you know, all these different things do affect, your wealth portfolio there. Now talk a little bit about, the funding behind Wella, is it bootstrapped? Are you guys still looking for investors? I mean, where are you at now in that stage?
Yeah. So to get to where we are, where we are right now is all bootstrapped. We had revenues from our firm that helped us build the technology, pay the salaries and keep a roof over our head. Right now, actually going through a fundraising round, and that's what's allowing us to really double the size of our company. We've seen adoption of our platform. We've seen the ability for successes of helping individuals with their financial situation. So we're going through a fundraising round. We're raising $1.2 million to help us with our technology and our team, and we're doing that just via family and friends that have an interest in this financial services space, the fintech space. Mm-hmm. And we're about 85% of the way to our funding, and we're looking to close that around and start focusing on growing the company again back in July.
I find that very interesting. A wealth management fund is looking for money and investors. Yeah. Maybe you can just put my money into the company itself and not into another stock portfolio somewhere else down the line and know that the company I'm investing in is looking out for me and themselves. I mean, it seems like a pretty safe bet.
I like how you look at that.
Yeah,
I like how you look at
so that. Maybe I'll start thinking about retirement here and where my money should go. What about, your competitors out there? There's other folks doing this thing and they're out there in the marketplace. What sets you apart from them and what makes y'all different?
Yeah, next question. Oh, I'm just kidding. The space is really evolving and there's been some big names that have really brought awareness to what we're trying to do. I think that, if you just look at the history of the financial industry, it's very, it doesn't like change, right? Mm-hmm. You had in 1863, Goldman Sachs was the first brokerage house around. You had E.F. Hutton in 1904, Bear Stearns and Merrill Lynch in the 1920s. Dean Witter, but you didn't really have anything until Charles Schwab came around in 1971. So it was about 100 years before you really saw someone try to revolutionize the way financial advice is given. And then in 1991, E-Trade actually put it online. I was like, holy cow, I can trade my stocks online.
Right.
Get out of here.
Right.
We're an industry that is very, they don't like change at all. And so now 20 years later, we have this thing called the robo-advisors coming around. And what I think that Charles Schwab did in the 70s was they just opened the pie, right? People were still going to go to Bear Stearns and Merrill Lynch and all of them. But some people, for me and you, the Main Street people, we weren't able to go and buy and sell stocks at that low of a cost. Mm-hmm. Charles Schwab allowed that, so it brought more people to the space. And that's the same thing E-Trade did for those day traders. And now that's what the same thing that robo-advisors are doing is that it's saying, well, hey, maybe for the millennials, the young people, you don't want to do any deal with it. You just want to have a low-cost investment strategy that's all algorithmic-based.
Yeah.
And so it's bringing more people to the space, which is great. And their technology is great. And the platforms and the people behind the technology are amazing people. But what they've done is just lowered the cost of investing. They haven't solved the root problem that's in the financial space, which is how do you leverage all these advancements in technology to actually deliver the service of financial advice? And that's a merging of both the traditional model, which is a personal touch model, with the robo-advisors, which is just full technology. You have no one to talk to. If you have a question about how much home you can buy, figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to give you that. They'll give you an investment allocation. I call it a digital mutual fund, basically.
Okay.
And so we're trying to merge the two in the middle. And so you have the robo-advisors, which are Wealthfront and Betterment. And then you have really, in our sleeve is Personal Capital, which is out on the West Coast, and Future Advisor, they're out on the West Coast. And really, our goal is to really show up here in Atlanta and really serve the Atlanta market in the Southeast.
Well, again, and when you mentioned some of those older, you know, brokerage houses and firms, I think of, you know, stuffed shirts, real boring business people.
Yeah.
You know, Wella seems like it's making it cool again, you know, or bringing coolness to the marketplace.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I'm going to say that, you know, I would want to talk to you. I need your card after this, actually.
That's the whole thing. Nobody wants to go, like I said, to the striped suits, ties.
Yes, we're fuddy duddies, you know.
Where you're a peon and I'm the head of everything.
That, give me your money and I'm gonna hold it for you, and you feel intimidated, you feel overwhelmed by all this, you know, stuff they're throwing at you.
We don't wanna be that way. And that's how we've grown the company and really grown the culture inside the company is that you can wear jeans and t-shirts, and it's not a matter of how you look is what is showing your sophistication behind investment advice. It's, do you deliver the best quality service? Do you do what's right for the client? And do you follow up on your word? You say you're going to do this, and do you actually do it? And that's more of what people want rather than those striped suits. And they cost a lot, too, so they have to charge a high fee to get those.
Yeah, and then bringing technology into play as well, because people want technology. And it certainly has a place to be integrated into your wealth management.
Well, we're all on the go. I mean, you think about the millennial generation and how they get advice. I was reading a study, and it said that it was actually a Bloomberg article that said financial advisors don't care about millennials, but millennials don't care about financial advisors either. And it was interesting because it hit me on both sides. I was like, ouch. I
mean, it makes sense.
But it makes complete sense. But in there, it said that millennials get 71% of them get their advice from their parents, and then 49% get it from their friends. And so they're more inclined to just go on Facebook and say, what should I do with my raise of $10,000 rather than go call a financial advisor? And so we want to be that outlet that they can go onto Facebook and they can ask us, because we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and our platform is really just inviting and allowing them to ask those questions.
And so Wella.com is out there, or your Wella.com, and people, that's on the mobile devices, that's on their, you know, home computers. Yep. People can access it on a lot of different ways.
Yeah, so we haven't developed an app yet, but it's all mobile friendly, so you can access it from your Apple, iPhone, Android device, iPad, Google device, whatever it may be, or your desktop.
Very good. And you, like you mentioned, you website yourwella.com. You're on Twitter, Wella, Wella.
Yep. So, you can find us at Wella on Twitter, or like us on Facebook at yourwella. Or you can check our site out at www.yourwella.com.
And what about a phone number or office location where people, if they want to come in and sit down and talk with you directly?
So, our office is in the Atlanta Tech Village right there at Lenox and Piedmont. So, you're more than welcome to come over there. We'll grab a coffee at Octane and talk about finances, or you can call us. Just call us at the 404-531-0018 number, and they'll get you to either myself or Eddie Gepp, who's another strategist.
And I hear your commercials on the radio all the time. Yeah. So people, if you're not listening, you know, it's out there, and you can be found for sure. And it certainly sounds like it's something that anybody, any age, if you've got money, you need Wella. You know, and because they can make a fortune for you, you know, so please do reach out to them. Any last thoughts or comments for?
No, I just, like you said, I mean, whether we're trying to really tailor towards those people that have under $1 million, whether you have $5,000 or $500,000, we'd be happy to help you in any way we can.
Well, good. Thank you for coming in today and sharing your story. Would you mind just sticking around a little more as we talk to our next guest? And Rich, who is on deck?
All right, Ryan, up next your listening pleasure is Ernie Fira.
Got it.
Two for two. Wow.
Yes. We're on a roll.
Yeah. All right, Vice President, General Manager, Commercial Insurance for the Risk Solutions business of LexisNexis, responsible for developing a suite of products and services for the commercial insurance market. He's been a part of the insurance leadership team since 2000, was named Vice President and General Manager of Commercial Insurance 2012. Previous life as a or role as a Vice President of Product Management and Analytics, responsible for product management analytics across the insurance product continuum. Also served as Vice President and General Manager of Claims, where he played a central role in building a claims-focused business to complement LexisNexis data and underwriting business. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, thank you for being so patient as we get around the table here to you to talk about LexisNexis Insurance. You know, all month long here in the Business Radio X studios, the Buckhead studio, we've been celebrating Small Business Week and Business Month, I should say. We've featured a lot of businesses in here, and that's what you do. You help small business. Is that right?
Yeah, we love small businesses because it's a large part of the information services that we provide to both carriers and agents to help make insurance decisions. So it's in our wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the number of small businesses out there, there's 32 million businesses in the United States. 99% of them are less than 500 employees. You know, you go out there and 65% of the new jobs that have occurred in the last 17 years are coming out of that small business sector. So it's a growing, vibrant, and important business. A lot of these people are running businesses out of their homes. A lot of them are millennials that are breaking out and trying to get it, you know, to establish their own entrepreneurial spirit. So it's really a place that's very important to us as an information provider.
And that's what you do. You provide that information to those small business owners and about what risks there are involved with owning a small business, right?
And more on the carrier, the insurance carrier and agent side. So okay. The agent that wants to understand more about the small business, its size, its operations, that kind of information that's publicly available, we help the agent and broker to help make sure that they get the right price and the right coverage for the small business owner.
I see. So the small business owner goes to the agent, then the agent comes to you to kind of bring more insight into what kind of risk this small business may need.
About the operation of the business, okay. The people, the employees and people that are involved in the business to say, hey, what's the appropriate, you know, rate that I should charge for this particular coverage.
Well, then how can a small business owner, what do they know about, what are their risks before they go and talk to the carrier themselves?
Yeah, the small business owner needs to sit back and look at what they do, right? And what are my current operations? And the small business owner has options as to where they want to look for and buy insurance. Mm-hmm. It's basically two different areas. They can go directly to an agent who's an expert in insurance and can really sit down with you face-to-face, you know, more the traditional way. But now we're seeing more and more small business owners wanting to go to the web and go directly to the insurance carrier to buy their insurance. Much in the same way today where we buy our personal auto, we can go into an insurance website, put mm-hmm. in our name, address, and information, and come back with a quote.
Yeah, instantly.
Within 15 minutes. We're seeing the same sort of technology being applied to the sale of small business insurance. So, you know, you can go into a website and get that kind of information in a relatively short period of time.
Well, say I'm a small owner operator of a business radio platform. And what are some of the risks involved there from your perspective?
Well, you know, you brought a couple outsiders into your location, right? And,
yep.
And should you happen to get hurt on the job, or let's say there's a brawl between the two people involved in the company, right? There might be an issue. You know, you've been abused throughout this entire interview.
That's right.
No, he is not. Yeah, we love Ryan. Yeah,
he has great
That's
hair.
That's our bumper sticker, actually. All our corporate vehicles has We Love Ryan on the bumper.
Thank you so much. For the record, he has awesome hair. I know somebody made a comment about that.
Man, as soon as he mentioned like a commercial litigation or issue, everybody's like, your new best friend. Sorry.
No, it's quite all right. So if there was an altercation and an injury, that would
hypothetically, for legal reasons.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. There could be a workers' comp claim involved in that, and you have to have coverage.
But I imagine every business has that kind of potential, you know?
But it's about the number of employees. It's about the number of vehicles. It's about the location, the kind of operations that go on, right? You know, we look at commercial insurance and compare it to personal insurance. You know, cars are very much alike. Houses are very much alike. But businesses are very different. The kind of risks that you have when you're working on an oil rig is different than the kind of risk that we have sitting in this radio mm-hmm. station, right?
I hope so.
I hope so. That's right. And if an oil rig has an issue, that's a very severe type risk. It could be very expensive, right? Mm-hmm. And to pay out and to solve that claim takes a very long time. So really, on the commercial side, it's very different than the personal line side. Mm-hmm. On the personal line side, you have a fender bender on the way into the office, right? Mm-hmm. It gets fixed within 2 days. You take it into a local shop, they get it fixed. An oil rig spill or a fire in a pizza parlor or eyewear place where someone has a slip and fall, there can be a high severity, a high cost, and it can take a long time to solve that claim. So when we underwrite small businesses, we have to look at all those different perspectives of the individual business. What do they do? What are the kind of people that work for the business? What are the risks that they face? And we have to take all that information and translate that into what should you pay for premium to cover that.
I see. And so with LexisNexis, you guys kind of house all that information from years of experience and can really get down to the nitty-gritty of what a small business may need based on all the knowledge you've accumulated through the years.
That's right. I mean, we're in the business to make sure that people have the right amount of insurance so that should, God forbid, there is a claim, an injury, a fight between two coworkers, perhaps, mm-hmm. that there's the appropriate coverage to make sure that everybody's made whole and that they, you know, that they're either the property or the individuals were are repaired.
Is there a lot of brawls between coworkers? You keep bringing that up. I mean, that's do you insure wrestlers?
It depends. Chris, you're from New Jersey. There may be a higher frequency there.
There is. That is correct.
And a greater severity.
Yes, there is.
To use insurance terms. So I don't have the specific numbers for you.
Okay.
Though. Yeah. But I could run a report, perhaps.
Yeah, you definitely could find out.
I could. So, and I'm also from New Jersey, too, Chris.
Oh, really? Yeah. Which part?
I'm exit 18E off the Jersey Turnpike, which is near Leonia, Richfield Park, Palisade Park.
Excellent. I'm off the Garden State. Yes.
We may have a brawl between guests.
Exactly.
We'll step outside, whatever. Yeah, let's all work it out.
Exactly. East side, west side thing. Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, good. Well, so small business, like you said, is driving the economy these days, whether it's somebody who's just getting out of college and starting up a business or somebody who may be semi-retiring and wanting to get out of the corporate rat race. But how can they further educate themselves prior to finding that right carrier for them?
Yeah. There's a number of different sources and you know, Small Business Administration, go to their site.
Okay.
A lot of the carriers today that are providing their insurance online, you can go to their sites and they'll help you walk through what you need to get the right coverage.
Yeah, because you do want to shop around a little bit before you just say, I'm going to take this first carrier.
And what you see out there, too, is carriers are focused on specific niche. Like there's probably a carrier that writes a lot of radio stations. There's a carrier that writes a lot of eyewear shops. Mm-hmm. They have expertise in that area, and they're going to help you make sure that you get the right coverage. But you can go on to Google, take your put in the word insurance and put eyewear shops, and you will get a wealth of information about carriers that are looking to write that type of business. And they will have on their websites, here's the types of coverage and information that you need to be able to prepare to make sure that you have the right insurance for your business.
No, I totally understand that. Before I started pursuing my broadcasting dreams a little over a year ago, I had my own small home-based business. I did home dog training. I came to your house and I trained you and your dog.
Yes.
Well, the potential of getting bit by a dog was pretty high.
Yes.
And there was very few carriers out there who actually could determine what my insurance rate would be. So I spent a lot of time shopping around for those who particularly underwrite dog trainers.
Yes.
Then I came to find out the job was really about training the people. It wasn't even about the dog.
It was
about communicating to the person itself. And but I did endure several dog bites through those years of doing that business and needed that insurance at the time.
And that's exactly right, because the carrier who has more experience in that and riding those kinds of risk is going to be open to take you on as a new risk because they have a lot of experience. The other aspect of they know what you need to do to avoid future claims, to have mm-hmm. other issues. Mm-hmm. So they'll work with you. It's the concept of loss control, right? What do we need to do to make sure that your dogs are on leashes at all times,
right?
And that you're doing the right things within the operation of your business to avoid claims. And carriers will work with you and agents will work with you to help mitigate or avoid those future claims because that's in everyone's best interest. It's a lower cost for your premium, and it's also helping protect your business.
Yeah, and it would always amaze me. I would call and talk to the potential client on the phone. I said, does your dog bite? They would say no. I get to their house, and the dog bites me. And they would say, well, I thought you're the dog trainer. The dog wouldn't bite you. I can't magically not make a dog bite me. You know, you knew your dog was going to bite me. It was your fault for not putting it on the leash, but more or less it was my fault for not reading the situation before I came into the house. You know, put your dog in the crate, put him out back before went down that road. But then there was other risks that were involved. I potentially go into someone's house and knock over a 100-year-old grandfather clock, and then be responsible for that. Or, could step on a baby or something when I was walking through the house. So I had to be very careful when I came into people's homes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I thought you were going down the road of the joke from the Pink Panther, which was, he walks, Peter Sellers walks up to the person and says, the person comes, does your dog bite?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the dog comes and bites him and the guy goes back to them and says, I thought you told me that your dog doesn't bite. And he goes, it is not my dog.
I don't know that one, but I should have used that one years
I'd
ago.
I'd be more really worried good. About the owners biting you.
Well, you know, that they were there was not some not so nice people that I dealt with, and that's one of the reasons I got out of the business. Dogs were great, but
I think
people
if
not
you're,
so much.
You're stumbling and breaking everything, I think maybe you need to have your eyes checked or whatever, right? Get some glasses.
Could or be. Get more wealth.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. More prepared. So, yeah, we're coming full circle here. That's good. So, the information that people want to find out, you deal more with the carrier. So, if I'm an underwriter out there, I'm a carrier out there, then how can they find out more information from you, from the LexisNexis insurance part of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think what the small business owner wants to prepare as they walk into an agent or they go online to a carrier, that they've compiled certain information. Because when we assess the risk of a business, there's certain things we want to know. What are the number of employees that you have, right? Mm-hmm. What are the types of equipment and assets that are part of your business, right? Your financial information of the running of your business. Because let's say your dog bite place goes out of business for a couple of weeks because you've been hit with a hurricane. Well, the insurance carrier or the agent is going to help make sure that you have business interruption insurance, mm-hmm. right? We've got to make sure you're not going to have income coming in for a period right. of time. So when I decide and look at your risk, I have to have that information. So the other information that you want to bring to the table is what is your previous claims history? Have I had claims in the past? And what were those types of claims? Because that's an indication of, you know, how safe you've been in the past. So always kind of be forthcoming with that information as a small business owner, because both the agent and the carrier want to give you the best price that they can,
right?
But they really need that kind of information to assess your risk.
And more information, the better. Would there ever be a case where a business would not need insurance?
You know, there's certain types of risks or certain types of
everybody insurance. Has risks, right?
Yes. Yeah. And if you don't have any working employees, right, if it's a single business, you don't have to have workers' comp insurance, right, because you're covered in that situation, right? If there's no property involved in the particular business mm-hmm. that you're running out of your home and it's covered under your homeowner's insurance, those kinds of things are probably, you know, not where insurance is required. Commercial insurance is broken up into different types of insurance. You got to cover the injury that occurs. You got to cover the person. You got to cover the car. That's a different type or type of insurance all under that commercial umbrella. So it may not be that you need all lines of business or all types of insurance based on your business and your business operations.
Oh, very good. And again, share with our listeners, if you would, your website or any other platform that people can get in touch with you. That would be great. I see you have LexisNexis.com/risk is a way if folks can find that information.
And /insurance.
/insurance.
So it's LexisNexis.com/risk/insurance.
Okay.
To come look into the information about our products and services.
And I see you're also on the Twitter sphere at Twitter.com/LexisInsurance. Very good. So folks can find out more information there. Rich, I think we put together a show here today based on needs. People need insurance, people need wealth management, and people need glasses.
Well, and if they had all their money, they could afford everything else, whatever. Yeah.
Right. And there's always risk, no matter where you go, what you
do. Well, except for here. We don't incur any risk here at the studio.
Low-risk environment.
Thank you, yeah. If you have a risk, step outside, yeah, outside of our building.
Go next.
I do have a couple of comments or questions on the LexisNexis. What's the name? What's behind the name there?
The name of the company?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a name that comes from we provide a lot of Lexis, a lot of legal materials. Okay, so we're at the nexus of legal information.
Oh, okay. Oh, so everybody doesn't get a car, Lexis car, or whatever.
No, this is LEXIS, not LEXUS.
Well, I knew that. All right. So on your business model, how do you find new clients outside of social media and referrals?
Yeah, what we do is we have a sales team that goes out to agents and to individual carriers to provide the information products to them. So it's really a calling upon our customers, which are, you noted earlier, agents and brokers, to buy these services, information services that they need as part of their processes.
Yeah, so sales professionals. We had the thought leader, marketing director for Salesforce here just Tuesday.
Yeah.
You all use their services? Or,
yes, we do.
Okay,
yes, we do.
It's amazing how many people...
We use Salesforce as well.
He They're called great. Himself a marketing evangelist.
Evangelist, yeah.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah. Marketing evangelist.
What was actually he's on
Biblical.
The Matt Matthew
Sweezy. Yeah, that was him. Yeah. And he was there. But yeah, so it's strictly B2B for your business there.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then for Let me see. We talked about your Buckhead location and the insurance. A question for Matt. You mentioned, in some cases people feel like you're a peon. So you don't like the Europeans then, is what you're saying? Or
Love Europeans.
Okay,
good. I've never been to Europe before, but
okay,
I just wanted to
clarify that. Yeah. But seriously, anything? What's next? Like, what's on the horizon?
Yeah, we're.
I guess the mobile platform is what's.
We're still continuing to build out our technology. I think that we've come a long, long way, and we're really excited where we are. But we have so much more we want to do in terms of the value that we want to provide to every user. We want to make it automated and make it easy for them to have actionable steps. And we actually have in the next couple weeks a budgeting aspect of the platform that's going to help create a budget by looking at what you're spending already and give you some suggestions there. So we're excited about that coming up.
Cool. So when you go to Atlanta Tech Village and visit y'all over there, it's a mahogany table free zone.
Yeah, we got mahogany. Yeah. Well, we have a fake mahogany table that we just karate chopped. We just karate chopped the mahogany table.
I was looking at our credenza and it's mahogany, but I don't think it's real either. Yeah. I think that's laminate or something.
It's all whiteboards and dry erase markers.
Yeah. All right. Well said. And so great show there, Ryan.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So make sure if you need some glasses, go see Chris over at the Eye Gallery, one of their many locations.
And I did want to mention with Chris, we've talked when we met at networking events, so that idea of the lenses and the not just ultraviolet, but because we are on these devices all day. But you also mentioned, I think we were chatting beforehand, maybe not on the show, but about the symptoms as a result of that, right? Where your it causes restlessness and
So it also causes insomnia.
Yeah.
So the blue light will cause you to have some sleep deprivation. For example, I was telling you about the Utah Jazz basketball team. Last year, they started talking to their doctor, and they were saying how difficult it was for them to sleep. They were all having insomnia issues. And he figured out that they had changed the light bulbs in their stadium where they were training. So they have this treatment now on all their warm-up and practice goggles.
Dang. And that was an observation just a takeaway I had because as all business professionals here, we're working, feels like 24/7, right? It's the last thing we need is to not have insomnia and not be able to sleep, right? So that was a selling point to me. So I don't know if I get an extra 10% off the 50% off deal or what.
You work we'll something out, Rich.
Go sign up for the summer sale coming over.
Nice. Yeah. All right, Ryan.
Oh, very good. Well, if your company is doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page at buckheadbusinessradiox.com. On behalf of Mr. Rich Casanova, you've been listening to Georgia Business Radio. I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.